So we're going to start with some musical stuff, musical tuning. Those of you that have played an instrument know that having your instrument properly tuned is important. If it's not properly tuned, then what you are wanting to play isn't going to be what you actually play. And there's different ways to go about tuning an instrument. One way to tune your instrument would be by ear. This would be you're familiar enough with the notes that you're playing, familiar enough with music that you can hear a note and know what it is. And so you could, you know, or you could sing a note out off of memory and use that knowledge of what that note is to tune your instrument to the proper notes just by knowing that that's the right note. Another way to tune an instrument would be to use a reference tone. So that image up there on the screen is of pitchforks or tuning forks, and when you strike one of those against a hard object, it resonates at a certain frequency and creates a note. And they're usually labeled as a what note they will create, and you can use them as a reference to tune your instrument to that tone, such as a guitar has strings that have set notes, and you can tune the string to that tone, and then you can tune the other strings in reference to that. Another way to tune an instrument is to use a chromatic tuner, and this is a device that either by microphone or through a cable will sense the note that's being played by the instrument. It'll then display to you what note you are playing, and then you tune your instrument accordingly to have it match the note it's supposed to be. This method here is the most precise method to tune an instrument, but it can also be a little cumbersome. You know, you're getting ready to play at a concert, you got to tune your guitar, and you realize, I never put batteries in my tuner. Now I can't tune my instrument because that's what I use to tune my guitar. So while it's the most precise, it can also be the most cumbersome, the most inconvenient at times to use. So for those of you that don't know, I play guitar. I don't really play it a whole lot anymore, but I'm familiar enough with it. And so guitar tuning, each string, there's a standard guitar has 6 strings, and the tuning of that instrument, and this all may seem like, why are you talking to us about music? It'll make sense later. The standard tuning of a guitar is the notes E, A, D, G, B, E, and that's agreed upon standard tuning for a guitar. And then each string can be tuned in reference to the other one. And I'm going to demonstrate that in a little bit. But you can play a note on one string, and it'll be the same note as another string. So I'm going to get my guitar. I'm not playing a song, so don't worry. I'm not singing or anything. So these are very old strings, so hopefully they are still what I tune them to. But if I play the 5th fret on this string, it should be the same note as this string. And they're close enough for this demonstration. And so if I tune this string here, in theory I could tune all the other strings off of that one string being tuned. And that would be how you would use one of those tuning forks to tune your guitar. So I'm going to play a C chord, which is just a bunch of notes put together to make a chord. And can I have someone come up here and play a C chord on the piano for me? Thank you. I'm not getting any funny looks, so you're not familiar enough with what a C chord should sound like. So I purposely tuned my guitar wrong. I tuned every string down a half step. So by itself, it sounds a little weird, but not terrible. But when you reference it with the piano, which is usually the instrument you reference notes off of, you realize this is not in tune at all. So by itself, it seemed like it was in tune, but in relationship to the piano, it wasn't. Thank you. That's all I need to talk about. So if anyone here was good at tuning by ear, you might have been able to hear that that wasn't really a C chord when I played it to begin with. For those of us that needed a reference tone, once you heard it in relationship to the piano, you realized it wasn't an actual C chord. Another example of tuning instruments is an orchestra. So before an orchestra will begin their pieces, will begin their performance, they all tune their instruments, and they tune their instruments in relationship to one another. This is called concert pitch. And what happens usually is an oboe will play an A note that they've tuned ahead of time to the frequency of 440 hertz. They'll play that A note, and then all the other instruments will tune themselves to that note. Now you may be thinking, what if there's a piano in the orchestra? Isn't it really difficult to tune a piano? Why would they tune to the oboe? Well, if there's a piano, then the oboe tunes itself to the piano, then everyone tunes itself to the oboe. So the piano is still the constant. The piano is the king of notes, if you will. And then with an orchestra, there's a conductor that's up front and leading the orchestra. And while all the musicians are supposed to know their parts ahead of time, they're supposed to know the piece ahead of time, if they came there winging it, not knowing the piece, they'd probably be noticed right away that they're not keeping in line with everybody else. But even though they know what they're supposed to do, the conductor could change stuff up. Maybe, you know, they want the piccolos to get a little crazy at this one point where they usually don't, or something along those lines. So they still have to pay attention to the conductor and follow his lead. So that was musical tuning. That was tuning with tuning instruments, tuning related to music. There's three main ways of tuning. There's by ear, you just know the note. There's reference, where you hear another note and you mimic that note. Or there's using a tuner, which is like your absolute reference for tuning an instrument. So let's get into some spiritual tuning. So Romans 10, 14 through 17 in the Message says, "But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture exclaims, 'A sight to take your breath away, and grand possessions of people telling all the good things of God.'" But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asks what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. That last portion in the King James is, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So hearing builds your faith. You can use hearing the word of God as your reference in spiritual tuning. You use that word to tune your life into God's promises and God's plan for your life. In John 10, 24 through 28, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, 'How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and know them, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.'" So the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. They've heard it. They are tuned in by ear to the voice of their shepherd, and they're led by that. Just by hearing, they know where to go. So lately, I discovered this group called Beautiful Eulogy, and there's this one song on their album called Devotion, and it's not really a song, it's more of a sermon excerpt, and he speaks about faith. I've not really looked into who this preacher is or what he's all about, but I like what he has to say about faith in this song, so I'm not necessarily recommending you go out and listen to his preaching, but this particular excerpt from one of his messages is really good. So I'm just going to read it word for word from the album. I recommend you go listen to it yourself, because it's going to sound better than me reading it. But it's called Devotion by Beautiful Eulogy, and that's the name of the minister that is speaking. And then, oh, they showed up better than I thought they would. If you can't read them, this is more just for people who want to download the notes later that they can see them themselves. So what is authentic faith? The cultivation of an optimistic outlook on life with a kind of spirituality attached to it, a holy hoping for the best. Is this how you think of faith? Authentic faith is the confident assurance in events not yet seen. Faith is not a call to believe in things when common sense tells you not to. Faith is not a mindless stab in the dark. It is not a crossing of the fingers and hoping for the best. It is not a leap into apparent nothingness. It's a word that speaks of reasoned, careful, deliberate, intentional thought. Thought upon what? God and his promises. If you are absolutely gripped by the coming realities that have been promised to you by God, then how you live your life in the present will be radically different than if you did not possess that certainty. This is what faith is, my friends. Positive certainty expressed in action. Authentic faith is not merely believing in God, it is believing God. Taking God at his word, living in obedience to his revelation, whatever the cost, because you know down deep in your bones that God will always do what he says, that his speaking is his doing. It is an abiding assurance in God and his promises that animates you to persevere in your obedience to him. Do you wish to be more consistently obedient, steadily persevering Christian? A stronger Christian, a more courageous and outspoken Christian, then you need to strengthen your faith. Your faith instinctively strengthens in direct proportion to the expansion of the object of your faith. You expand your understanding of the object of your faith, and faith will obediently follow. The object of your faith, if indeed you are a Christian, is Jesus Christ and all of his promises. Is your faith weak? It is owing to the fact that you don't know the object of your faith well enough. But when Jesus Christ becomes progressively bigger, or better yet, your understanding of who he is progressively conforms to reality, your faith will become increasingly stronger. But how does that happen? By immersing yourself in the faith-arousing Word of God. Read of Jesus Christ. The same powerful word that long ago brought the universe to life is the same word that can bring you to life and furnish you with a faith that is truly and authentically Christian. So that's a lot of stuff there, and you're probably not grasping everything that's in that paragraph just from me reading it, so I'd recommend downloading these notes and reading that over yourself. Some points I like in that: authentic faith is not merely believing in God. It doesn't take a whole lot to believe in God, but it's believing God. It's just knowing God's God, and he can do, he is going to do, he already has done everything he said he's going to do. I also like that he says in there, it's not, where is that at? Not a mindless stab in the dark. It's not crossing your fingers and hoping for the best, but it's a thought, it's a deliberate, intentional, reasoned thought that you've taken the time to think that I believe in what I read, I believe in what I say I believe, and nothing's going to sway me from that. That is faith. And so how do we build that faith in ourselves? Well, at the end it says there, we need to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. So if we want to take the musical modeling, the musical tuning that we went over earlier of how to tune your instruments, either using a chromatic tuner, either using a reference tone, or tuning by ear, I want to draw some parallels, some correlations, some examples of how these can apply to our spiritual tuning, how we can tune our lives into God, how we can tune our lives into his word. So earlier when I talked about using a tuner, that's the sure way of tuning your instrument. You play the note, it tells you what the note is. You adjust your instrument till the note reads what you want it to be. You know the note is the note. I would say that's similar to having a physical Bible in your hand and tuning your life to God by reading the word. You know it's the word. You see it's the word. You read it right there in front of you. There's no doubt that that's what the word says right there. It's necessary to have that to make sure that your life is in tune with God's word. But if that's the only way you tune yourself to God, it can be a little difficult at times to minister when needed. Let's say you're talking to a friend and they come to you with a need, and you know when the Bible talks about that, but you don't know where. And so you have to say to them, well, I'll get back to you on where it says that in the Bible, or I got to look it up for you real quick. But if something comes up and now you've missed your chance to minister to them, because that's the only way that you've tuned yourself in. You only know it well enough to be like, oh, yeah, I can look that up. Reference tuning, I would say, would be coming to church, hearing the word preached, hearing the testimonies given on Sunday, building your faith up that way by hearing the word spoken to the congregation, hearing the promises of God being fulfilled in others' lives. That would be the same thing as hearing a note produced on a tuning fork or on an oboe and tuning your instrument into that. You're hearing God's word spoken, and you're tuning your life to what you're hearing. But just like my guitar, it sounded all right by itself. I mean, mostly. If the strings were newer, it would have still sounded all right by itself. But with referencing, we got to be careful what we're referencing to tune ourselves to, because there's a lot out there that we can tune ourselves into. There's a lot in this church we could tune ourselves into. Just because we're at the church doesn't mean that what everyone says is lining up with the Word of God. And so that's why you still need to have the Bible as your master. The Bible, like the piano, is the place to go to make sure you got the notes correctly. And then tuning by ear would be knowing the Word of God, always having the right word at the right time. You've studied the word enough that you know it. Nothing's going to sway you from knowing that word. Nothing's going to make you doubt that that's what the word is. Someone comes to you, you're going to be able to tell them scripture, verse and chapter, of where they can find help in the word of God for that need at that time. But I would say even with that, you still need to be able to go back to the Bible. You still need to have some reference tuning, because even though you know the word, your interpretation of it might be wrong. And so with reference tuning, you can throw your interpretation of that word off of other people in the congregation. You can go back to the physical Bible and read it in context and make sure you got the context proper in that word that you know. And so I would say tuning by ear is the one we all should strive for. We should all strive to have the word in us so concretely that we can bring it up when it's needed. But that doesn't mean we should do away with reference. We shouldn't do away with coming to the church. We shouldn't do away with actually studying the Bible by reading it. Because all three of those methods are important, and they all balance each other, and they all make sure they're all together. So who are we referencing? So like with my guitar, you can tune the strings off of one string. Well, if I tune that first string wrong, then the rest of them are going to follow. If the oboe tunes itself wrong, then the whole orchestra is going to be different. And so that's why we need to go back to the Word, because our faith will grow when our knowledge of God grows. And this only happens from studying His Word, from coming to church, hearing His Word preached, and applying that to our lives. So with my guitar, I tuned it off just a little bit. Just like how the devil takes the truth and he gets it off just a little bit. It's close, but it's not there. And so like Pastor always brings up that story of the brownies with the dog poop. It's not how much chocolate there is, it's how much poop there is. There's how much error there is in what it is that's going on. So even though my guitar was mostly in tune, in comparison to the piano, it sounded terrible. So just like comparison, what this world wants to give you, compared to that with what Jesus wants to give you, it's terrible. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Man, I always... Should I just stand up here and say nothing, Cortez, for a while? So, that's the end of it. So let's all go tune ourselves, grow our faith, get in the Word, strengthen each other's faith with testimonies. Don't hold back. You know, don't say no one wants to hear that. If God did something for you, say it, because it's going to build other people's faith. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, I think he did a great job. Amen. And, sometimes it looks easier than it is being up here. And because I do it all the time, I can, I guess, develop your own style. And as I said, we are going to be wanting the gifts in the church to be used. And this behind the pulpit is just one. There's other gifts that we would like, to be developed, because the church shouldn't be just a one-man show. It is a one-person show, but that person is Jesus. Amen. And I'm grateful for the gifting that is in this church, and we're going to be having different people doing different things as this year develops. And I'm excited about to see the gifts developed. You know, I didn't become pastor till I was 53, which is kind of old. I was quite content to just sit at the back and play my guitar. But the good thing about the parable that Jesus told was the people that came at 5 o'clock got the same pay. Amen. It's he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And I really like the example that Josh used about the tuning, you know. Really, I don't know if you've ever been and seen a full orchestra. But it's really, I found it's just not the same listening to an orchestra on a CD than if you're there. Because then the real power of the instruments and the power of it really comes together. When you hear an oboe or a trombone by itself, it can be nice. But when you get everything working together following the conductor, then is when you really have music. And it's really a picture of a church that's on one accord, because not everybody's playing the same instrument. But when they all blend and they're following the conductor, which the true conductor is Jesus Christ, then you can have a symphony orchestra producing great music. And I've had the chance a few times to go and sit and listen to a great orchestra. And that's when I like it. I don't really like orchestral music on a CD. It just misses something. You have to actually be there and see it. And when you're there and you see that orchestra, so it's like watching the service on podcast. I'm sure it's good, but it's different when you're here. And you can feel the Spirit moving, and you can get involved, and you can clap and sing. So it's great that we do that for people who are shut in or can't make it. But it shouldn't be an excuse to not come to church, right? Amen. So we're so grateful for God giving that inspiration to Brother Josh about the harmony of the music. And music is a very strange thing. Why do certain things sound in harmony and some things don't? God did it. You know, there's mathematics there. There's multiplication there, that certain things have to be multiples to sound harmonious. And if they're off even just a little bit, then they don't sound harmonious. As he was talking about tuning, what came to me was Matthew, my oldest son. He was 12 years old when we discovered that he had that ability to remember frequencies. You know, he could do that without going to a piano or anything. And next time he comes here, he doesn't do it very much, but you just ask him to give you an A, and he can give you 440 hertz A just by doing it. That's his gift. And I always ask him, how do you do that? And he says, well, I guess he sees the frequencies as colors. That's blue, that's gray. He can see the music as colors. And that's certainly such a gift, isn't it? And God has given each and every one of us a gift. He said when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. And most of us are probably just not using our gift and going to present it and say, Lord, see, you gave me this one talent. I brought it safe, and we've not done anything with it. So I hope that this year that this church gives the opportunity for you to use your gift. And not all of it is, maybe your gift is helps, encouraging someone, praying for someone, you know. Maybe your gift is just coming here on Saturday morning, right, when the church is open and praying. I love coming here on Saturday morning and finding Sister Hatton and Sister Longoria here praying. That's a gift. So there's many gifts that we're not using, and when that harmony of each instrument that God has blessed us with comes together, then that's when the church will be able to really show forth what God really wants.